Good afternoon. Today is June 22nd, 2017. We'll open our subcommittee on public safety and jump right into a. We're going to open two work sessions. Actually, we'll do them one at a time. We'll open a work session on House Bill 5033, Public Defense Service Commission. And take us away, will you?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair and subcommittee members. House Bill 5033 is the budget bill for the Public Defense Services Commission. And posted to OLIS are the standard materials that you've been seeing for your budget bill work sessions, including a LFO recommendation, key performance measures, and the amendment to the bill. So what I will be doing, if it works for you, is simply going through our recommendation memo to talk about our recommendations for the Public Defense Services Commission budget. Normally, we don't talk about other budgets when we're in a budget bill because typically, you know, these are all very agency-focused, and typically you haven't noticed working on a different budget when you're having a work session on one budget. So I'm going to bend the rules a little bit here because both budgets are up today, just to mention that both of these budgets, of course, comprise together essentially all of the funding for the judicial branch of the state of Oregon. The Public Defense Services Commission budget provides public defense to indigent defendants, and the Judicial Department, of course, provides the court services throughout the unified court services throughout the state. When you look at these two budgets, you'll see or you'll notice that there are some differences in them and in the recommendation. One thing you will see is that the recommendation, the cuts will be deeper in percentage terms for OJD than they are for Public Defense Services. And there's a reason for that, and that's because the two budgets operate differently. Public Defense Services, the vast majority of their budget is purchase of legal services from contract providers, and the costs of purchasing legal defense of attorney services is very case dependent. So the number of cases, the types of cases. OJD also has costs that vary with caseloads and with the types of cases, most certainly. But there's the budget there supports an entire structure of persons and other expenditures related to operating court systems, and to some extent these are less directly dependent on changes in caseloads than are the Public Defense Services Commission, and that's primarily the reason why you'll see differences in the reduction levels between these two agencies. But if I may go back specifically to House Bill 5033, which is the budget bill for the Public Defense Services Commission, this commission's budget structure is, you know, the documents that we go through are based on the budget structure of the agency. The budget structure is fairly simple in the sense that there are only three program areas in the budget. Two of them relate to the expenditures of the agency itself, supporting state personnel and costs of administering contracts. And then the third program area relates to the costs of actually providing payments to defense contractors for the services that they provide. If I may, with your indulgence, go a little out of order, I would like to first talk about the agency expenditure costs, which are in the first and the third part of the presentation. So I'm going to skip over the second one, because in the middle, that's where we have the costs to provide to pay contractors for the services they're providing. So if you look at our memo, if you have that in front of you, and if you look at the work session presentation report, I would direct you to page 2 of 3, which shows the budget recommendations for the appellate division. The appellate division is, as you may recall, public defense for cases at appellate levels is provided by the Public Defense Services Commission, or the Office of Public Defense Services. It is provided by attorneys who are employed by the agency. And the appellate division section of the budget reflects the expenditures for those services of providing appellate division public defense. On page 2 of 8, you'll see that the recommended level of support is just under $18.2 million for these services. In terms of what this implies or what changes are being made to the current service level, if you go to the next page, which is page 3 of 8, you'll see the only adjustment that is in the budget or recommended for the appellate division, and that is a general fund reduction. This is package 108. I'm sorry, 801. This is the standard package you've been seeing in all your budgets, both in this subcommittee and other subcommittees, that we are using to include general fund reductions for the purpose of balancing the statewide general fund budget within the level of available resources. Here, we are recommending that you reduce $350,000 of general fund to help balance the state budget. And this reduction is a reduction in funds that the agency has been budgeting for to address agency space needs. The agency has a very tight space. I don't know if any of you have seen their offices across the street and down the road a little bit on Court Street, but they have a lot of people in there. They have to double up a lot of, people are working in cubicles and rooms together. And they have been trying or have been wanting to obtain additional space. However, they are able to continue operating in the space that they have through the current biennium. So we are recommending that those funds be removed because the agency will not need additional space this biennium. So that's a reduction of $350,000. If I may, this is where I'm asking you to skip ahead, and if you are looking directly at the work session report, we're past the professional services account because that's the part of the budget where funding is provided to the contractors, and going down to page 7 of 8, which is the contracts and business services division. So we're still speaking here about the state agency, the Office of Public Defense Services, their personnel, and their costs. The Contract and Business Services Division is the division of the agency that manages all of the contracts that the state has with public defenders and ensures that payments are made, that payments are reviewed, and it's an operation. This is the operation of working with contractors who are providing public defense services at the trial level. This division also includes the administration of the agency as well. So, for example, the executive director's position would be in here, et cetera. We're recommending a budget that for this part of the agency that totals slightly over $5.1 million, and of that amount, approximately $4.4 million is funded by general fund. So this is primarily general fund, though not exclusively. If I may direct you to page 8 of 8, this is the last page of the recommendation, the work session report. These are the package 801 reductions that we're recommending to this section of the agency's budget in order to help balance the statewide general fund budget. The total reduction that we're recommending is a general fund reduction of $278,963, and that is comprised or consists of two components. One is a reduction of $134,600, again, for the space issue. It's the same issue, it's just there are funds in two divisions of the budget that are being held in order to address the space issue, but it's the same concept. This means that in total, $484,600 of the general fund reduction is a elimination of funds that were being held to address space issues. The remaining general fund reduction is actually a fund shift. We're recommending that one of the contract managers in the division that is currently paid by general fund now instead be paid by one half general fund. I'm sorry, instead be paid by other funds. So this would be a general fund reduction of $144,363 offset by a other funds increase of the same amount. This particular position is eligible to be funded by these other funds. The only other funds that the agency has are revenues from the application contribution program. The application contribution program is a program that in many cases collects a $20 fee from persons who are eventually receiving public defense services, but it is the costs of reviewing the and verifying that they are eligible for, that they are indeed eligible to receive the state-supported or state-paid public defense. These are monies that primarily end up going to the Judicial Department to pay for the verification specialists at the courts. However, PDSC retains some of these funds, and this particular individual is also involved in that program, and we're just recommending the fund shift. If we could go back now to the professional services account. Professional services account on page 4 of 8. This is where the preponderance of the agency's budget lies, and this is where the agency's funds for paying contractors who provide trial-level public defense, this the part of the budget where those monies, those payments are made. We are recommending here a total budget of $280.5 million, roughly, of which the vast majority, again, is $276.3 million is in general fund. The other funds of $4.2 million are the same application and contribution program revenues that we spoke of before. In order to, if I can please ask you to look at page 5 of 8, this is one of two package adjustments that we are recommending that you make to the funding for professional services. And this is actually an increase. It's not a reduction. We are recommending that you add $4.7 million to the amount that's in the current service level calculation for the costs of providing contractor payments. And the reason we're asking you to do this is because the current service level calculation has not been giving or providing accurate information as to what ongoing costs really are. And the reason why that's been the reason why that's been happening is in the past we've gotten into a situation where some of the costs of providing the public defense have been provided late in the biennium. So most of the costs have been provided up front and supplemental costs are provided later in the biennium. That has the effect of making the current service level calculation inaccurate because the later payments are never included in next biennium's current service level. So we're recommending to address this, or to at least help to address this, by adding $4.7 million now. And the hope is that we can end the cycle of having to split the appropriation, and as we do for, you know, generally in a biennial budget, provide all the funding up front. So we're recommending that adjustment for the calculation or to the funding of the professional services account. However, we also have an 801 package for professional services. The reduction here is we are recommending that you reduce the actual funding that will be available for contract payments by $5.8 million, roughly, consisting of a general fund reduction of $6.5 million, offset partially by a other funds increase of $700,000. So this is the reduction to help balance the budget. The $700,000 increase is, again, there are application and contribution program revenues that the agency has been holding that haven't been required to provide the cover the costs of the verification specialists. We're recommending that you use $700,000 of that in lieu of general fund to help balance the general fund budget, but it does offset the reduction to about $5.8 million. That completes our recommendations. I'm happy to answer questions, but what this basically does is we're estimating that it leaves, it basically ends up for at least the contractor portion of the budget to be about a 2% short of an adjusted CSL or a more reasonable CSLs.
And, we have a motion on LFO recommendations, and then we'll go into discussion.
Coach Stark, I move the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5033.
Co-Chair Winters moves the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5033. Is there any discussion or questions for Mr. Bender? Senator Hayward.
Thank you. I understand, at least as well as anybody, having been wrestling with the Health and Human Services budgets for the past X months, the budget constraints that we face. I've already expressed in this committee my concerns. In fact, I've expressed because PDSC has come before the subcommittee I used to chair during the interim in the past. My concerns that we do not have anything close to parity between people working for PDSC and either the AG staff or the DAs. And when we have disparity between the people providing defense services and the people prosecuting, then we risk providing inadequate defense to Oregonians who we are constitutionally required to defend and provide adequate, at least adequate and preferably excellent defense services for. So I get that we're in a constrained budget environment. Believe me, I know that. But I worry a lot when the AG has within her power, and I'm not, again, criticizing the AG, to raise, bring all of her people up a step, and Ms. Cozine and her team do not have that opportunity to do that. It's a complicated situation, but I want to put it on the record that, yes, I'll support this budget, but I think it's inadequate, and I'm very concerned about the level of support we're providing to our public defenders.
Senator Frederick.
Well, basically, I want to echo that. I am really concerned that we are the capacity that department has in order to be able to be effective, and we want them to be effective because then we bring with it a credibility as far as the clients and a credibility as far as the staff, the whole justice system. So as much as I understand the whole budgeting situation, even the space issue is really not a minor issue. It is something that I think is a real concern that we should be paying close attention to. So I just want to echo my concern about it being inadequate at this point.
Representative Sanchez.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I too, of course, want to just put on record that I have a huge concern about this issue. And to be frank, I'm looking at it from the perspective of just an overall equity issue around the people of the state of Oregon deserve to have that defense. And if they have it, unfortunately, at a lesser degree than we ourselves do as the state, it just feels inequitable. It feels disrespectful. It feels entirely disrespectful because a good chunk of those people, clearly the reason they need that defense is because they can't afford it. They can't afford to hire a lawyer. And so, you know, and we're having these people, these public defenders, struggle themselves to make things happen. We happen to know that many of them are, you know, still paying off their degrees, and it just feels horribly inequitable, not just to the public defenders themselves, but to the people of the state of Oregon who deserve that service.
Other comments or
I agree. Thank you, Mr. Chair. All the comments have been great.
As do I.
I just need to add, and I think I can probably speak for the my co-chair, hopefully, as well. This has probably been one of the toughest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly looking for ways to actually add additional revenue. The challenge has been more challenging, I think, this session than I can remember since probably 2003, for those who heard me on passing the provider tax. And certainly equity is an issue. Parity, and I have to say and give a lot of kudos to Ms. Cozine, who has relentlessly, I think, worked and with all of us in not only raising the issue, but not only for this, because you know, I think we also were interested in the parent-child representation. So just know, I think we all have the same voice, the same concern. That you know, if we could have managed to have been able to grant additional resources, we certainly would have.
Other comments? And I would say thank you to all of you for your well-worded, comments about our public defenders that we so much appreciate. So thank you. On that, are there any objections to the motion to accept the LFO recommendation, House Bill 5033? Not been so moved. And Mr. Bender, if you can cover key performance measures.
Certainly, Mr. Co-Chair. The key performance measures are also posted to OLIS. The agency has, in addition to the customer service measures that you've seen in pretty much all agencies, has four other measures. And we are not recommending any changes to the measures. One of the measures that the agency has tracked is appellate case processing, the number of days to file an opening brief. They've been working to reduce that down to 180, and they have been making progress there. But as you can see from the report, these targets require them to make additional progress beyond where they are. They also have a measure of their best practices for their commission for the percent of attorneys that are completing, contract attorneys that are completing at least 12 hours per year of continuing education in the area of law where they are practicing. And for the parent-child representation program, their key performance measures the percent of the attorneys who are spending approximately a third of their time meeting with the clients. In all cases, as you can see, I'm happy to answer any questions, but we do have believe that the targets should be set to show for the agency to continue to improve on these measures.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Co-Chair Winters moves the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so moved. And Mr. Bender, if you can please cover the recommended changes in the dash two.
Certainly. LFO, with the recommendations that I've discussed, recommends a total budget of $298,923,219 in general fund, $4,954,313 in other funds, and 77 positions, which is 76.23 FTE. This recommendation is reflected in the Dash 2 amendment.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 5033.
Co-Chair Winters moves the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 5033. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so moved.
Mr. Co-Chair, you want to make your recommendations, or you want me just to move it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, LFO recommends that House Bill 5033, as amended by the Dash 2 Amendment, be moved to the full Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move 5033 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Winters moves House Bill 5033 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? I think we got it all out. Any objections? Being none, so moved. And I will carry it to full. Anyone want to carry it on the House floor? Huffman will carry it on the House floor and Senate side.
Well, I'll take it, Senator.
Okay. On that note, we will close our work session on House Bill 5033 and open a work session on House Bill 5013, Judicial Department.
Thank you. House Bill 5013 is the budget bill for the Oregon Judicial Department. We again have a recommendation that is available for you and posted onto OLIS, and I would like to go through that recommendation as well. This particular budget is more complex and will take a little longer to get through this, but I will try to do this quickly, but to make sure that the information is provided. As you see, we have a memo there which discusses some of the major recommendations in House Bill 5013. The major recommendation that I think is most notable is that the recommendations would reduce general fund support for basically the operations of the court system, the trial courts, the appellate courts, and the central administrative support at the Office of State Court Administrator by approximately 4.4% or $14 million. So this is a more extensive cuts than we saw for public defense services. And if I may then, with your approval, go directly to the work session memo. The work session memo, if you go ahead to page 2, the first division of this agency's budget is the division that pays for judicial compensation, that is the cost of salaries and benefits for the elected judges. There are 194 elected judges, and the total costs in the budget, or the general fund in the budget for that, those costs are $78.1 million. There are no adjustments from current service level, so this is the projected expense of paying all of these without any cuts, all of the salary and benefit costs for the judges. The next page 3 of 24, again, we're not recommending any changes from current service level. This is debt service. General fund debt service, which is primarily paid for debt service on bonds that are issued to support courthouse capital construction projects at the counties, and also in some cases at the Supreme Court building, which is a state facility. And the other component in debt service is that the state had issued general obligation bonds to finance the new e-court system. Those bonds, there are no more bonds being issued, but there's still a few years left of debt service on them, and that's part of the total amount. But we are fully, recommending no changes to fully fund the expected debt service payments. The next item, capital construction, page 4. I would note that no capital projects are included in this recommendation. The reason for that is that the Joint Committee, the Capital Construction Subcommittee, is reviewing all capital construction requests. You heard requests for courthouse projects and a request for a renovation of the Supreme Court building. Those are not included here and are being will be added to the end of session bills if the Capital Construction Subcommittee approves them. The next item is shown on page, 5, I'm sorry, of 24, and that is the costs of the trial courts that operate in all of Oregon's counties. The total general fund here is about $220.4 million. with some other fund support of about $9.1 million as well. If we go and continue on to page 6 of 24, you can see the adjustments that we're recommending, or the packages that we're recommending changes to CSO. The first is a request. The agency had a request, package 409, for treatment and specialty courts grant funding. We are recommending approval of that. What this package does is it increases the budget by about $4.1 million and 19 full-time limited duration positions that work in specialty court or treatment court programs around the state. These are grant-funded programs, and they always phase out because grants aren't a permanent source of funding, but these represent, this would allow the agency to continue operating these programs, assuming they continue to receive the grants that traditionally they've been doing, receiving. The next item, package 801, this is the reduction, the general fund reduction. We're recommending a reduction here of just over $9 million, $9,035,650. This funding is a reduction in personal services. Trial courts will be required to manage their operations within the reduced level of funding, and the Judicial Department will work to minimize the impact of the reduction, which is a way of saying we aren't specifying exactly how they have to handle this. We're giving them flexibility. It's equal to about 3.9% equivalent to about a 3.9% reduction from current service level. Package 812 is the vacant position elimination. We are recommending that you reduce general fund for trial courts by $1,170,000 general fund, and that you eliminate 8 vacant positions. These will help reduce the ongoing costs in the statewide general fund budget. And those are the recommendations for trial courts. Moving on, the appellate courts, the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, and also the tax court have a separate section of the budget. And the recommendation we have here is, again, package 801 on page 10. The general fund reduction, again, of about 3.9% of $928,707 general fund reduction. Then we have package 812. Elimination of a vacant position in this section of the agency for an additional $120,000 reduction. 3.9% plus this is equal to the 4.4% reduction that I mentioned at the start. It's just split between these two packages. Central administration and central support. These are the offices in Salem and offices of the state court administrator. The reductions, we have a number of packages here. The first one is not a reduction. It's on page 13. This is a other funds increase for the technology fund. What this package does is it increases expenditures from the technology fund to continue 7 positions that were approved on a limited duration basis and to maintain and support the ongoing functions of the eCourt system, including electronic filing and electronic payment capabilities. This will cover the costs of eCourt system, system staff who support eCourt in the central office, and payments for systems maintenance and vendor charges. The package also includes certain revenues that have not been approved yet. By that we mean it notes the source of revenues in order to balance from increases in court filing fees and in fines, and from increases in user fees for purchasers of information that the eCourt system can provide. There is legislation pending that would provide these revenues. If those revenue sources do not become available, what will happen is there will be insufficient package revenue to fund this package, and the department will establish a charge for electronic filing to finance vendor charges for this electronic filing portion, and may be unable to support other items supported, such as all of the positions or other costs. But this would be 10,690,000 and 7 positions. Package 801 is the standard general fund reduction here. This is a reduction of $2,576,118 general fund. It's approximately 4.1% reduction. Combined with package 812, there are elimination of 2 vacant positions on a permanent basis, 1.5 FTE for another $210,000, bringing the total reduction up from 4.1 to 4.4%. Mandated payments. There are no recommended changes from the current service level on mandated payments. These are the payments generally associated with operating trials. So these would be payments to jurors. These would also be court interpreter services, where court interpreters are required, where there have to be, for the American Disabilities Act, if there are things that need to be done for cases there. This will be funded at the current service level. Third-party debt collection. We do have a recommended increase that is shown on page 18. We're recommending that you add $2,560,000 in general fund for debt collection. The department contracts with third-party debt collectors, including the Department of Revenue, to help to collect funds that are owed to the courts but that are delinquent. When they do collect funds, they pay third-party debt collectors on successful collections, and they add a collection fee. So if your fine was so many dollars, if you go to come delinquent and it goes to collections, there's an additional fee that's added on top of that. That fee goes into the general fund and helps to support these costs here. So this is expected to fully fund debt collection costs. Then if we go to page 20, we're back to package 801 in what is the external pass-through part of the OJD budget. OJD also transfers some support that you have for other programs. They are funded in the state through the OJD budget. There's a total reduction of $602,000 in funds that will go to county law libraries, county mediation and conciliation programs, the Oregon Law Commission, and the Council on Court Procedures. And I believe, no, that's not the last one. We then have on page 21, this is the Oregon Courthouse Capital Construction and Improvement Fund. You'll see there's nothing in this budget for that. This would be if county courthouse projects are approved. We would add money here, but that would be done by the Capital Construction Subcommittee. On page 22, the state court facilities and security account is an account that is funded by the criminal fine account monies. You've had other agencies that have relied on criminal fine account monies. As you know, criminal fine account monies that remain unspent go to the general fund. So these, even though they're other funds, we budget them as if they're general funds because we know any dollar reduction increases general fund revenues. Because of that, there's a package 801 adjustment here as well in order to help balance the general fund budget. We recommend a reduction of $337,524 in other funds, and this would represent a reduction in the funds that are distributed to counties to help assist in their courthouse security functions. So the counties provide security at the courthouses. The state provides some funds to assist that. This would represent about a 10% reduction in state support and would reduce the ability of counties to make equipment and security upgrades. And there is finally the last section of the budget is the eCourt program. These are general fund dollars that support the state, that work with the state core technology fund to support these costs. There's no recommended changes there from current service.
Thank you, Mr. Binder.
No questions?
Do we have a recommendation?
Yes. We would recommend that you accept the LFO recommendation.
Co-Chair Stark, I move the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5013.
Co-Chair Winters moves the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5013. Is there any discussion? Representative Sanchez.
Just want to say I'm not really thrilled about the idea of a 10% reduction in courthouse facility security. Don't think it's the time to do something like that.
I'll do an amen for that.
Senator Frederick? Other comments or discussion? Okay. Any objections? Is that a yes?
It is a yes. I object to that,
okay.
To that piece.
So please, no. And so motion moves. So move. And key performance measures, please.
The key performance measures, which are posted, are the department is requesting to replace its existing key performance measures with new measures that would, it believes, better reflect its performance. LFO is recommending that you adopt their proposed new key performance measures. They have a number of them there relating to access and fairness, clearance rates, time to disposition, time to judgment entry, time to first permanency hearing, collection rate, and the recidivism rate. They are including that as a measure that they would have. Also, the effective use of jurors and employee retention. If there are any questions, I can go into more detail, but we do recommend that you allow the department to adopt their proposed key performance measures and delete the ones that they, the existing ones.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
With the modifications.
With the modifications.
Right. Yes. Co-Chair Winters moves the LFO recommendations on key performance measures with modifications we just discussed. Are there any questions or discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, so you will please discuss the -1 amendment and the recommended changes?
Certainly. We recommend a budget for the Oregon Judicial Department of $450,713,294 general fund, $51,698,491 other funds, $1,339,352 other funds, and 1,877 positions, which is 1,764.31 FTE. This is all reflected in the -1 amendment.
Co-Chair Stark, I move adoption of the -1 amendments to House Bill 5013.
Co-Chair Winters moves the adoption of the -1 amendments to House Bill 5013. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so moved. How about a final recommendation?
LFO recommends that House Bill 5013, as amended by the -1 amendment, be moved to the Joint Committee on Full Committee on Ways and Means.
I move House Bill 5013, as amended, to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Winters moves that House Bill 5013, as amended, to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Discussion?
Yes, Co-Chair Winters. I don't discuss, but just a comment. And I think you've noted, and I personally want to thank Justice Ballmer and others. It's very difficult in an environment like this where you have to do puts and takes. And where, when 801 is a good indication, I think you've noticed in all the budgets, of where, dollars have had to be taken away from an agency so that we be able to balance the budget. And I just want to thank all for their cooperation and working with us in order to make, the budgets. And I know that sometimes it's awfully painful. But I'm fond of saying to individuals, unlike the federal government and the state of Oregon, by constitution, we must balance our budget. So I just want to thank you and Phil and I for your cooperation and working with us.
Sir, any other comments or discussion? there any objections to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. And how about I will carry it to full. And Huffman, would you like to carry it to the floor?
Sure.
And Senate floor. And Senator Winters will carry it to Senate floor. We will close our work session on House Bill 5013 and open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2605. And Mr. Bender, when you are ready to give us an overview.
Certainly.
We have people coming to testify.
10 minutes.
No, we don't have anyone.
No.
10 minutes?
Okay. Yeah.
No one coming to testify?
Well, the chief.
You want
the chief
me to testify?
I am assuming that...
Did you tell the chief I got 10 minutes?
If it will help, I'll testify. If it will do us harm, I won't testify.
It'll do you harm. Nope, we're good.
Excuse me, committee assistant.
Okay.
You want to walk us through?
Go ahead and walk us through.
Yes, House Bill 2605 is a bill relating to the establishment of circuit court judge positions. Just reading the relating clause is about all you have to say. It originally, the department requested 9 additional judges in 8 judicial districts. Because of budget constraints, we do not have that. We have the -1 amendments before you, which we will be recommending, that limits the increases to 2 judgeships, 1 in Washington County and 1 in Josephine County.
And on that, I will comment. Would you like to comment on?
Well, since I rolled up my sleeves and worked really hard.
Okay. Yes,
and my comment is that, you know, wish we could have done all 9, but we couldn't. And, you know, in looking at the recommendation, and these were sorely needed, particularly, and I, you know, taking into consideration that Josephine County, in passing their levy, and some other things that we're doing in Josephine County to actually address, you know, the issues of the cartels and what have you. I think that the volume will be even more than when the Chief Justice recommended, you know, a circuit court judge for this. So, I mean, to me, and in consultation with my good co-chair and with the chief, that this made, you know, good practical, everybody knows me, practical sense. That's the same as in talking to a Washington County. You know, some of the similar things, we have a justice there who can't get at some of the policy work that we would like to see happen because of being overloaded and not being able to get the cases. So I'm glad that I rolled up my sleeves and was able to twist a few arms and to make this happen.
And if you guys remember when we... Oh.
Thank you. And I just would say, too, Washington County a few years back built another courtroom for a judge, and we haven't been able to fund that judge yet. Huge business development out there with high tech and everything, and those businesses need to have access to the court or they're going to have to leave the state.
Right.
So it's very important, and I really thank everybody's effort to get that position there.
If you guys will remember the original testimony on this when the Chief Justice asked for 9, knowing what we had ahead budget-wise, I said, well, what would your top 3 be? And I'd seen several reports that there are several ways of looking at which place needs it the most. Most of those reports still come down to the same 3 in the top 3, no matter. And readiness is one of those as well. And at that time, I asked him to present, you know, which would be his top 3. He chose to not bid against himself, I believe are the words that he said. However, when push came to shove, he came down to the top 2 on his list. What we were able to come up with funds were Washington and Josephine. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't been involved in much of the discussion, but... in looking at in looking ahead at the probability that this committee is going to get 1 or 2 options for grand jury recordation, I just want to encourage the chief to not hold back on what the potential might cause courts if we add 2 preliminary hearings. Since we're on the topic of adding judges, if we can only afford to add 2 this go-around, as we look at grand jury recordation, which I've been largely supportive of, as long as a lot of the questions are answered. And one of the questions is around if we had preliminary hearings and we don't add to our judges and the dockets are full oftentimes, then how are we going to be able to do it? So I just want to throw that out there in a related manner.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other discussion on this?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the dash 1 minute.
Chief Palmer, would you like to chair?
It
is entirely up to you.
If I may, Co-Chair. And Co-Chairs, members of the committee, I'm Tom Palmer, I'm the Chief Justice, and I did want to just say a couple words in support of the dash 1 amendments to HB 2605, which, as you've discussed, would add one new judicial position each in Washington and Josephine counties. The history here has been reviewed. We asked for our study showed that we needed 30. We asked for 9. I was asked to come up with 2, and these are the 2. Both counties, as those of you who've looked at the material that it was submitted previously know, are among the highest in the state in terms of filings per judge. The population increase in Washington County, the business litigation that we're running into there, and the other litigation just associated with having large corporations there. In Josephine, the felony filings are up 23%, up 63%. The probate filings are up 46%. Permanency hearings and termination of parental rights filings up about 50%. And both of these counties have courtrooms available. That's one of the reasons they're prioritized. The main reason is they're the ones that need the help the most. They have gone without new judges for a long time, despite increased caseloads and increased populations. So I would just close by saying that we do have needs across the state. These, in particular, affect public safety. Not having enough judges reduces the efficiency of the government agencies that we operate in conjunction with, including DHS and corrections and the district attorney offices. And for all kinds of cases, having a shortage of judges lengthens the time it takes to get to hearing and then get to resolution, which is our goal and the sort of thing that's called out in our key performance measures. So adding these judicial positions would significantly improve the quality of justice and access to justice in these communities, and I'd ask for your support. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions for the Chief?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you.
I move the dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2605.
Co-Chair Winters moves the dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2605. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? And so moved.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2605 with the dash 1 amendments to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Winters moves House Bill 2605 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there any other discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so moved. And I'll carry that House floor and in full. And
I'll carry it, but I'll probably give it to Herman on the Senate floor.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Any other business for the
no, and order? And I'm going to leave, but I need to add, when we first came in to the building and into this committee, I talked about public safety is a system, and that, you know, this committee is responsible for, you know, trying to help do the balance of a system. And any time we don't get one part of the system or the other, it'll create, problems, throughout the system. And so hopefully, by the time we end this session, that we will have done our job, recognizing that, it this time was probably more extreme puts and takes since we were in the early 2000s and what have you, but with the task of making of hopefully making certain that this balanced. And we've got a wonderful LFO staff to keep us on track, But I just need to say that because often individuals who don't know the work that we're doing here, you know, will say, well, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? And my priority is this and my priority is that. But the reality of it is we try to strike those balances and recognize that that public safety truly is a system, whether it's the defense side of it or the DA, district attorney side, and the Department of Justice and judicial, and all those components that go to make our system work in the state of Oregon. So I just needed to kind of just reinforce what we had started out when we began, you know, our hearings. And so with that, yours truly is going to leave because she's going to a 95th family reunion.
Wow. Nice.
On that, we will close our work session and on House Bill 2605, and we are adjourned. House Bill 2605, and we are adjourned.